Today's shiur is Masech to Gittin Daf Yud Aleph. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Yud Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. The Gemara begins by quoting what we learned in the Mishnah, the Rav Shimon Omer Af El Ksherim. We had learned yesterday in the Mishnah that the Mishnah discussed shtaris, documents that are processed in the Akar Shlakim, in non-Jewish court. When can we rely on those documents, and when can we not? And the Tanna Kamma had differentiated between regular shtaris and gittei noshim shechruri avodim. We learned in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon, however, said, af elu ksherim, even these types of git ksherim. Asked the Gemara, how could Rav Shimon have possibly said that such documents are kosher? V'labnei krisis ninu. The Torah says that the parasha of Gittin and Kedushin are relevant only to Jews and not to Akum. So how could Akum be included in the parasha of being qualified to be participants in a get? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zeir Yored, Rav Shimon actually was able to come to the same opinion, l'shitosh asher b'loza, dama edim asir karti, as we've often discussed in our Masechta, and will discuss, one of the most fundamental machlokes in our Masechta is which edim make the get into a valid get. And according to b'loza, the edim asira, who witness as the get is given over, are the ones that make the get into a valid klet. And actually, according to Rabbi Elazar, we don't even really need Eidei Chasima. And therefore, as long as the get was presented to the woman in front of qualified Eidei Mesira, that's all that's required. And as the Ramban goes on to say, that the Eidei Mesira, even though there are certainly, according to Rabbi Elazar, serious halachas regarding the way the get is written, in fact, as we learned early in our Masechta, it is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar that the ksiva of a get has to be l'shma, but explains the Ramban, the Eidei Mesira, who are part of the get, realize that part of their responsibility is to make sure that the get was written properly. And since that's part of their responsibility, to make sure that the get was written properly, that's all that's required. And therefore, the fact that it was signed by Akum is not troubling to Rabbi Elazar. But ask the Gemara, V'hamar Rabbi Abba, haven't we learned that Rabbi Abba taught us, Moed Rabbi Elazar, that Rabbi Elazar agrees with Mezuyah Metoichesh Apostle, that even though you don't need to have Eidei Chasima, according to Rabbi Elazar, if you're going to have Eidei Chasima, they have to be kosher Eidei Chasima. So our question comes back, how can we rely on the Akum, who are the Eidei Chasima? Answers the Gemara, Hakam Ma'iskinen, B'Shemus Mefokim, that the Edim who are signed on the Shtar are people whose names are obviously not Jewish. No Jew goes by these names, and therefore nobody's going to come to make the mistake that we could rely on them as Edim Asira. Ask the Gemara, Heichi Dami Shemus Mefokim, so give us an example of obvious non-Jewish names. Says the Gemara, Amra Papa, Tugoyin Hormis, Vavadina Bar Shipsoi, Uba Kidri, Uvatim Vinokim Vunam. These were all names of very non-Jewish names, and therefore nobody's going to be concerned. In other words, why did we learn earlier in our Masechta already that Rabbi Elazar, who holds Edim Asira Karti, is of the opinion that if you have Edim who signed the get, they have to be kosher edim, because we're concerned that we may come to use those edim to be the edim asira. But the Gemara is telling us, in a situation where it's so obvious that these people are not Jewish and cannot be used for the edim asira, we don't have such a concern, and therefore the get does not become invalidated where they're signing the get. One of the examples the Gemara gave of a very non-Jewish name of Shemus Mufokim was Bar Shapsoi. So Taisha says that actually is Shapsi. The name Shapsi is a Jewish name. He says the name Shapsoi is the name of a shade, and therefore Klai Yisrael did not use the name Shapsoi. And therefore the Beis Yosef says when writing a get, when somebody's name is Shapsi, make sure to spell it Shin Bei Sof Yud, and not add the Aleph, Shin Bei Sof Aleph Yud, because as Tosfos said, that's the name of a shade. The Marit actually says that the name Shapsi with the Yud and the name Shapsoi with the Aleph and without the Aleph are both Jewish names. He says what makes the name a non-Jewish name, says the Marit, is when there's a Yud inserted between the Shin and the Vais. Aval, so now says the Gemara, the way we're learning now, Shemesh Einim Avhokim, if the names are not obviously non-Jewish names, Mai, what would be Aloka? Loi, even Reb Shimon would agree that such a get would be disqualified. So ask the Gemara, if that is indeed the Aloka, Yachi, Adetana Sefer, instead of learning in the Sefer, where the Sefer differentiates between a get that was processed by a hedget or was processed by a kos, Adetana Sefer, Lahuskru, El, that the Edom, which are non-Jewish, are a problem. El, B'man Shanas B'hedget, when it wasn't processed in the Bezdin, we could have even said a bigger Chiddush, Lifnik V'lisnik B'didah, B'medvar Mamurim, when will Rav Shimon hold that a get that was processed by non-Jews is kosher, only by in a non-Jewish court, that's only by Shemus Mufakim, where the names are obviously non-Jewish. Avul Shemus Shemus Mufakim, if the names are not that obvious, loy, why there was the Mishnah? Now, ask the Gemara, why does the Mishnah have to differentiate between Akos and Hedyot? The Mishnah could have differentiated in Akos itself if the names are Shemus Mufakim or the names are not Shemus Mufakim. Answers the Gemara, Hachi Nami Kamar. That suggests the Gemara exactly what the Mishnah meant to say. The Medvar Mamurim, when is the halacha that a get that was processed in that course of Akum? The halacha is, it's a kosher get. That's only b'Shemus Mufakim when the names signed on the get are obviously non-Jewish. Ava b'Shemus Shenem Mufakim, when it's not obvious that way, Nas K'mishin Nasa B'Hedget, that get will be treated like it's not, as it was not processed in a court, and such a get will be psulim. Libay Seima, and the Gemara gives us another way of understanding. Seif Osel Gitei Momen, when Rav Shimon was speaking, he was speaking about financial status, that the Tanakam said that a financial shtar that was made by a kos, the halacha is that is trusted, vachkamer. And this is what the Tanakhama said. Lo yhuskru gitei mamin, the psulim, when a gitei mamin posel, el b'zman shenasa behedjet. But when it was made behedjet. Because there we have to be concerned that they may not be honest. But when they were made in their kos, and their kosher. Says the Gemara. Tanya, Amr Rav Lozab Rav Yossi. Kach Amr Rav Shimon Chacham B'tzidim. Rav Shimon said to the Chacham B'tzidim, Lo Nechko Rav Kiva V'chamim. The Chacham and Rav Kiva who were in previous generations, Akol Ashtaris Ha'olim Ba'akosh Alev the Chacham, any document that was processed in a non-Jewish court, Sha'av Pi Shechesveyem Alev the Chacham, even though the signators are non-Jewish, the Ksheim, that the document is kosher. V'filu Gitei Noshim Shechurim Avodim, as long as the Edim Misira are Jewish, and as long as the Edim who are signed on the document are obviously not Jewish, they're always kosher. Says the Brice Leinechku, where is there a subject of dispute between Mekiv and Chamim? It was matched Nasa Behejit, when it wasn't made in that cause. Mekiv and Machshir, he says it's still going to be kosher, because the Akum are concerned to say something which is not true. The Chum and Paislim, the Chum say that we can't trust them. Chutz, Megitei Noshim Shechurim Avodim, which have Edim Mesira, which have Edim who are signed in the Shtar, which Shemus Mufakim, that are obviously not Jewish, that in that case, the Rechachamim will even be lenient by they're made behejoitis when they were made in non-court, not even in court. Shimon Gamaliel, Omer, Af Eluk Sheirim, you, the Chachamim, that say that if the signatories are not Sheamus Mefakim, when it's not obvious that the people who signed it are not Jewish, we now have an issue. That's only Bismakum Shein Yisrael Chaismim. That's in a place where the Akum did not allow Jews to sign documents. They had such a rule. So therefore, it's obvious that whoever signed the document must be non-Jewish. Av Makum Shein Yisrael Chaismim, in a place where they allowed Jews to sign documents. So then, a get that was made with non-Jewish signing the shtar, even though the names are very non-Jewish, we were concerned that if we're going to allow non-Jewish such a get, we may come to allow it even when the names are not obviously non-Jewish. Ask the Gemara, just like you're saying, that we're not going to allow, even if the names are obviously non-Jewish, because we may come to sign with names that aren't so obvious. So Makom She'ein Yisrael Chayismim, so even in a place where Jews are not allowed to sign, and you're saying that there we have nothing to worry about, because everybody knows that the people who signed the get must be non-Jewish, and therefore they're going to insist and rely on the Eidim Asira. But why? Naomi Ligzer, why should we not make exerent say that in a place where, even a place where only non-Jews sign, we may have a place that we should say, and therefore we could be more lenient. Why don't we make exerent at the Makom Yisrael Chaismim, where Jews are allowed to say? Answers the Gemara, Shma b'shma machlof. People could get mixed up with names. And they're going to get confused. What is a Sheamus Mufakim? What is an obvious non-Jewish name? And what isn't? Asra ba'asra le'michlev. A place that doesn't let Jews sign will not get confused with a place that does let Jews sign. And therefore, there's no reason to make exera. Says the Gemara, Ravina Savalach Shuri b'kunef soydar moi. Ravina wanted to say that a document that was made in a place where the Akum gather, even though it's not a court, it's still going to be a valid shtar. And the Rishonim explained, why did Ravina feel that way? Since this was done in a public place, since it was being processed in a public place, Ravina felt that was enough of a guarantee that everything would be done honestly. So Raphim asked him, but haven't we learned explicitly in our Mishnah, akos tanan, that only if they're processed in a court can we be lenient, otherwise we may not be. Amarava, says the Gemara, haishtar prasaw, that a shtar that wasn't made in a court, and it's written in Persian, and regular Persian edim are signed in it, the Masri Nahale Ba'apisad Yisrael. However, if it was given over in front of Jewish Edim, Megbinim Be'nei Chayrim. We know that if we have a shtar, if we have a shtar halva, that somebody owes somebody else money, so what that accomplishes is certainly that the loiva has to pay back the malva. That goes without any question. But what it also accomplishes that everything becomes mortgaged. Everything that belongs to the loiva becomes mortgaged to pay off that loan. So the halacha is that with this type of document, we could go after the b'nei chayrin. The malva could go after any assets that the loiva has, but he can't go after any mortgages. That much not. And the rishonim explain why not, because the reason why you could go after the lekuchas by a shtar is because when a shtar is written, there's a kol. Everybody knows that this loiva owes money to the malva, and if they're still going to buy property from him, they know that they're taking a risk by buying such property. But that's only if it's processed in a proper bezdin. But if it's not processed in a proper bezdin, so it doesn't have the kol, it doesn't have that publicity, and therefore the people who bought assets from the loiva could honestly say that we did not know that we are buying assets that are mortgaged. And therefore, the halacha is that you can't go after Mishabadim. So of course the Rosh asks, if the fact that it wasn't processed in a Jewish court is what creates that there shouldn't be a kol, so our Mishnah said about akos, and if it's processed in akos, the Mishnah didn't say you can't go after lekuchas. Why? Why should there be a difference? So the Shita, the Mashah explains that the akos that we're speaking about, very bechidish, the shtar was written in Hebrew. Since it was written in Hebrew, that gives it the publicity that the lekuchas cannot say we didn't know. But the shtar that we're speaking about in our Gemara wasn't written. I don't know if he means Lashon Kodesh. He says an interesting terminology. He uses the words Lashon Yisrael, and therefore maybe it's different. Says the Gemara, V'layad l'mikra. How could the Edom Asira say testimony on what's written in the Persian shtar? They don't know Persian. Answers the Gemara, B'diyadi. They do know it. We're talking about Edom Asira who do know that language. But then ask the Gemara, V'bein k'sav sheni yochel azayif. You need to, where halacha requires that the parchment on which a shtar is written is the type of parchment that can't be forged. It can't be dealt, you can't manipulate it. And they don't write such paper of a leka. Answers the Gemara, but that fits. It was. But then asked the Gemara, there's another halacha. When you write a shtar, the last line should not have any new information. The last line should just be a review. And the Rashbam in Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Samach Aleph on the base, explains, they were concerned that people don't necessarily sign their name directly under what it says on the shtar. And there may be empty space, and they're going to, and therefore somebody who's not scrupulous will put in there pertinent new information into the empty space. So therefore the halacha is, You never use the last line of a document to use it to teach us or use for collection purposes. And they just said, we've used the last line just to review what it says previously. And Veleka, and that's a halacha that we do. The Akum don't do that. Says the Gemara, but the Maheder, we're speaking about that they did do it. So the Rishonim ask a question, and if they didn't do it, why would that disqualify the shtar? What did we just explain is the issue? We explained the issue is that this space might have been empty, and now somebody who's dishonest filled up that space with other information. So as long as we won't use the last line to be part of our collection process, then why would the shtar be disqualified? Al Gemara says the reason the shtar is not disqualified because they indeed rewrote in the last line, they just used the last line to review what was said previously. And if not, why would that necessarily be a disqualification? So the Ramban asks, the Ramban answers that by a Jewish shtar, we only need to be concerned, the Edom know that they really have to sign right under the document because of the concern that we just mentioned. Just sometimes it's difficult to sign directly under the bottom line. And because it's difficult to sign under the bottom line, Chazal said the bottom line just used for a review and we will realize what's going on. But by the non-Jewish Torahs, where they don't have this consideration, what happens says the Ramban, is that they will write, they will leave more than one line open, empty, at the bottom of the shtar. And the Eidim will sign a couple of lines down, and that's why we have to be concerned. However, the Rashba, because of the question that we just posed, says that that's exactly what the Gemara means. The Gemara doesn't mean to say that this shtar will be completely disqualified. Says the Ramban, says the Rashba, what the Gemara means to say is that we shouldn't learn from the last line. Ask the Gemara, but if that's the case, that the shtar was written so perfectly in a language that the Eidim Asira understand, on parchment that was processed properly, and the last line was reviewed, so then why do we learn that you can only collect from Bnei Chayri with the shtar? The halacha ought to be Achim Mishabdi, even from mortgage property you should be able to collect. Answers the Gemara, less the kala, as we explained earlier, the reason you could collect from Lekuchis is because it has a kol, and this doesn't have a kol. By name Reish Lakish Mereb Yochanan, Eidim HaChasum al Get, you have Eidim who are signed in a get, v'shmais and k'shmais ayv d'kachavim, and the names signed in it are non-Jewish names. Mahu, can we rely on the get? Do we need to be concerned that this get was signed by non-Jews, and non-Jews signing a get, unless it's Sheamus Mufakim, the get is disqualified, or could we be lenient? Amalei Labali Yadenu, he said, I never had this question, only by a get that was signed with Lucas Velus, Fichsharnu, I allowed that get to be used. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Dafka Lucas Velus, the Lashchicha Yisrael, the Maske B'Shemesayu. No Jew uses such, has such a name. Av Shmos Achrini, other names, the Shich Yisrael B'Shemesayu, that there are Jews that have such names, the Shich Yisrael the Maske B'Shemesayu, Loi, we cannot rely on such a get, because we're only saying that a get that was signed by non-Jews can be used, if it's Sheamus Mothakim. Eisvei. So now ask the Gemara. Ask the Shlokish to Rabbi Yochanan. Gita Abba Medin Siyam. A get that comes from Medin Siyam. Ve'edim Achsum Aleim. Abi Sheshmesen Kishmai Sa'ev Dechavim. And we now have to be concerned that this is a get that was signed by Akum. And we're learning that a get that was signed by Akum, unless it's Sheamus Mothakim, is disqualified. We don't have to be concerned. Sheyim. We could rely that the get is a kosher get. Because, says the Gemara, many Jews in Chutz Laretz have non-Jewish names, and therefore we could see the get will be kosher. So why did Rabbi Yochanan only allow a get with names like Lucas and Luz, which is Sheamus of Hakim? Here we're seeing that even if it's Sheamus She'enim of Hakim, we could be lenient. Answers the Gemara, Hassam, there's a whole different reason. K'nektani Tama. Neshirayv Yisrael shebechutz laretz shemesein k'shemais av d'kachavim. There are many Jews in Chutz Laretz who have non-Jewish names. So therefore, the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, the get is being delivered from Chutz Laretz. And as we began the Masechta, the Shliach who's bringing the get is properly saying, Befani Nechtam, Befani Nechtam. And we know that there are Jews in Chutz Laretz that come with non-Jewish names. There's no reason to be machmer, and there's no reason to believe that the get is not a good get. Vika Damri, but there's a different version. He didn't ask about getin that came from Etzrol. Kimasnis ba'aminoi, he's asking about getin that came from Medina Siyam. Apashalei, and he indeed told him, Rabbi Yochanan gave him an answer from Masnissen that this brisa clearly teaches us that such a get is kosher because we could assume that the get was signed by a Jew. Our Gemara just discussed the about Jewish names. So the Medrash actually says, quotes Rabbi Yosef of Shim ben Yochai. He says, if we look at the history of giving names, he says it changed. At the beginning, names were given according to different experiences, according what people were experiencing. And they say that in those days, at that point in history, people had Ruach HaKodesh. And because people had Ruach HaKodesh, when a child was born, they were able to see with their Ruach HaKodesh, what will this child be all about. And therefore they gave him a name fitting to his personality, fitting to what they saw will be his life experience. But now, we are unfortunately people don't have that Ruach HaKodesh. So we give people names based on names that we have, names of relatives. Therefore, they say, when we're not giving a name because of experience, we're giving a name because that's just a name, or naming after somebody, the Marashdam in Yoridei Simen Kuf Tzadik Tes says that maybe you could use names that are not Jewish. Where does it say you have to use a Jewish names? And one of the rayas that he brings is Al Gemara. Because Al Gemara just said that if there's a get signed that comes from Medina Siyam with non-Jewish names, there's no reason to disqualify that get, because there are many people in Medina Siyam who have non-Jewish names. However, the Maram Shik takes a much stronger opinion. And the Maram Shik says that somebody having a non-Jewish name, he says, is an Issa deraisa. He says, when the Pasuk says, V'avdal eschem and amim, that we should be different, the means is that we have to be different, and one of the ways we have to be different is by having different names, only Jewish names. Begins the Mishnah, Oymet Hen Getz Elishti. Somebody tells a shliach, give this get to my wife. Shtah Shikr Zal Avdi, give the Shtah Shikr to my Eved. Imrot Zalach Sebeshneim, if he wants to reverse himself, Yachsur. He could reverse himself, Divir Emeya. The loch is that in both cases, he could change his name. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah Chamamim. The Chamim disagree. And they say, by Gitei Noshim, they could change the mind. Because the Gemara now is introducing a new concept, a concept that we've actually discussed, but the concept that we're learning about is Zochel Adam Shleib Befonav. I could do something for somebody else, which is to his benefit, even if they don't know I'm doing it on their behalf. And the Chum is saying, a get is considered a negative. A woman doesn't want to get divorced. So I can't pick up a get on behalf of a woman unless she explicitly designated me. And if here the husband is sending the get with a shliach, the shliach cannot automatically pick something up on behalf of the wife without her consent. And therefore it's not a get until he actually gives it to the woman. And since it's not a get until he gives it to the woman, so therefore the halacha is that he could change his mind until she actually receives it. But shtah shichur is to the Eved's benefit that he should be able to go free. And since it's to his benefit that he should be able to go free, that's why as soon as this person receives the get from the owner on behalf of the Eved, it becomes as if the Eved, he becomes the shlich of the Eved. So many achroinim ask the question that the Aloch, the Gemara says in many places, it's a meshachar avdoi, if somebody frees his eved, oiver basay. So that means that the shliach who's doing this is a shliach ledvar avera, because he's participating in the avera of this eved being freed. And we know there's a rule, ein shliach ledvar avera. So the Noida Behuda says that who is the one that's doing the avera when he frees the eved? The owner who frees his eved is doing an avera. This person is becoming a shliach of whom? He's becoming a shliach of the Eved. Since he's becoming a shliach of the Eved isn't doing anything wrong. It's the owner who's doing something wrong. And therefore, he's not considered a shliach l'dvar veira. The Tzais has a different approach. He says, even though the halacha is that I'm shachar avdai over basay, you're not allowed to free your Eved, says the Tzais, that's only under normal circumstances. However, says the Tzais, when my Eved did something good for me, that I feel I owe him to free him, says the Ktzais, then you're allowed to free the Eved. So says the Ktzais, presumably if an owner is freeing his Eved, it must be a situation where the Eved deserves to be freed. And since the Eved deserves to be freed, therefore it's not considered an essay, it's not considered a Dvar Aveira. Another teretz that I saw is that even if we can make an argument that ein shliach l'dvar aveira, how could you have a shliach by a shtar shikr? But we know, as we're going to see, we've seen, but we're going to see it much more in Mitzvah Shem, that the Torah connects the halachas of a get and a shtar shikr. So if the halacha, as we know, is that there's a din of shlichas by a get, there also must obviously be a din of shlichas by shtar shikr. V'cham ayrim, begitin nashim, you could reverse yourself until the wife actually receives the get. And the Eved getting his get, his shtar shikr, is a schus, and therefore it doesn't become hers until she actually receive it. Says the Gemara, why? Says the Mishnah, why? Why is the shtar shikr considered a schus, and why is the shtar get not a schus? Says the Mishnah, Shimi Yitzishloi Lozun Zavdai. If somebody, and we'll speak about this extensively in the Gemara, if somebody doesn't want to support his servant, he doesn't have to. So the servant has nothing to gain by remaining an Eved. But Shloi Lozun is Ishtoi, but he doesn't have the right to say, I'm not going to support my wife. You're obligated to support your wife. And by divorcing your wife, you're causing her harm, and that's why it's considered a chayv. Amalehem, to which the chachamim say, "Vrei paisels avdei metruma." Well, the eved also loses that by getting freed, because the eved of a kohen is entitled to eat truma. Now, by no longer being an eved, he's going to lose that opportunity. And kshem shu paisels ishtoi, just like she loses out by no longer being the wife of the Kohen, so he loses out by no longer being the Eved of the Kohen and not being able to eat Truma. Amalai, to which the Chum respond, Neshu Kinyonai. Which means like this, the owner could always create a situation where the Eved won't eat, when the Eved won't eat Truma. He could do many different things. He could sell him against his will to Yisrael, and since he could sell him against his will to Yisrael, so he's not going to eat truma anyway. So that's why eating truma is not considered a really a lost benefit. So our Mishnah said, the basis of our Mishnah is that a divorce is not a schus for a woman, and as the Gemara often says, the Gemara Masechta Yevamos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amabez, Tav l'meisav tandum l'meisav armala, that women would always like to be married, even if there's a problem with the husband, and therefore it's a fair assumption that a divorce is considered a disadvantage, because she always would rather be married. Says that Gos Maimonis, that let's say the husband, Rachman Tzlan, became a meshumad. He rejected our religion. In such a case, we could assume that it's a schus for the woman to be divorced from such a husband, and therefore there the divorce would take effect immediately, because it's certainly a schus. Similarly, says the Beis Yosef, that let's say a husband has a brother who Rachman Tzlan is a meshumad, and the husband has no children, and he's concerned that his wife should not fall to Yibim Chalitza, to this meshumad. There too, we could assume that the get is a schus. And the Beis Yosef says even a bigger chiddush. Let's say the husband, who we just spoke about, is under the assumption that his brother is a meshumad. And therefore we just learned that since he's under the assumption that his brother is a meshumad, the get is considered a schus for the wife, and as soon as a shliach receives the get, the wife will be divorced. What happens if it turns out that the brother, Baruch Hashem, is no longer a meshumad? it wouldn't change the halacha, says the Beis Yosef. Since when the get was given, there was a fair assumption that he was a meshubet, and if he's a meshubet, it's a schus for her to receive the get. That's enough of a reason, says the Beis Yosef, that this should be considered a valid get. The Kotzker asks a question that we're learning now that according to a mayor, being an Eved is something that the Eved would prefer. So the question is, the Torah speaks about the parasha of Shein V'ayin. Shein V'ayin means that if somebody calms his Eved, causes his tooth or eye to fall out, the halacha is the Eved goes free. But ask the Kotzker, that doesn't make any sense. This Eved is suffering. And now we're going to make him suffer even more, but have to leave his Eved or owner when he doesn't want to. So says the Kotzker, usually an Eved is happy to be an Eved. But if he has an Eved, if he has an owner who's hitting him, there, even the Eved, who Rameyus says, wants to remain an Eved, that isn't if the price of being an Eved is being an Eved by an owner who hits him and harms him. Says the Gemara, Yosef of Hunav, Rav Yitzchak by Yosef Kameder, Rav Yimei of Yosef, Rav Yimei of Kamenamnim. They were sitting and talking and learning, of course, and Rav Yimei was dozing off. Yosef Rav Hunav of Kama, and Rav Huna was sitting there, and he said, Shema minam b'drabanan, from the opinion of the Rabbanan that we just learned in our Mishnah, we could learn, ha-toifas l'bal choyf, if somebody grabs something from a bal choyf on behalf of the loiva kana, that means if Reuven owes Shimon money, and I do Shimon a favor, and I take something from Reuven on Shimon's behalf, the halacha is that would be acceptable. Will this halacha apply even in a case where this person owes other people money? Because then, by me taking it on behalf of my friend, I'm doing something bad for all the other people who will not have from that. Amalei in. Our Mishnah seems to learn that under all circumstances, that if I'm doing something positive on behalf of somebody else, it will be effective. Adahachi says, well, meanwhile, Isabah Rav Yimriya. Rav Yimriya woke up. He said, you young boys, if I do something for somebody else where other people could be harmed by what I do, like Kana. Vim Taimer, in our Mishnah, we can learn different. Because in our Mishnah, when I am taking the shtar shichur on behalf of the Eved, and our Mishnah is teaching us, at least according to the Chachamim, that what I'm doing is to the benefit of the Eved, and therefore it's a schus for Eved, and since it's a schus for Eved, I could take it on his behalf, but it's to the detriment of the owner. Because if I wouldn't have this ability, the Eved wouldn't be free until he actually receives the shtar. And therefore, that would give the owner time to retract. Here, I'm taking that privilege away from the Adon. So why should that not be considered Chav L'Achira? Says the Gemara, our Mishnah is different. Because since the owner explicitly told me, take this shtar on behalf of the Eved, so he made me into a shliach. If he made me into a shliach, that's not called hatoifus l'bal choyv. Hatoifus l'bal choyv, the whole definition of a toifus l'bal choyv is that I wasn't appointed to do this. In our case, I was appointed to do this. And since I was appointed to do this, it's a whole different concept. It's the concept of shlichus, which of course is always effective in many areas of halacha.